Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus the Christ.
I want to remind everybody that this is a classroom setting, and if you have questions, you are free to ask them also during this session, hopefully related to the lesson. If not, if they're off topic, then we will attempt to address them maybe at the end of the class and go at it that way. Let's see here. Let me look at my dashboard here real quick. All right. So we're praying that everybody is ready to eat on tonight. This series on false salvation has really struck a chord with a lot of people, and a lot of people having difficulty with that brotherly love versus agape love. Once again, I state, show me where you can show me the difference, where the Most High, I think that men are more familiar with brotherly love, and they can identify with that more. And so they find it easier to go along with that game plan. But, what I found is that the enemy is using that, and it's got to use that. Because if we're not keeping the statutes, laws, and the commandments of the Most High, then we are going to be looking at that tonight. We are just being lawless. And so we're going to dive into this as far as the Sabbath goes. This is part of this lesson from the beginning. And so we want to, take a look at this, and we'll look at these words in depth. All right, that being said, I want to say shalom to my two sisters, shalom to Sister Denise, shalom to Sister Mary, shalom to anybody else who is online listening, whether you're on any of the called-in numbers or whether you are on Pal Talk or Blog Talk. I say shalom to you all. All right. Shalom. All right. Let us do ours. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is a manifest son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3 verses 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep the commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah, Father. Glory, 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 glory to you, O Father. We give you glory, honor, and praise today, and we worship you. We bow down to you, O Yah Elohim, and we give the need to you, Father, for you are worthy of all glory, honor, and praise, Father. And truly, you are worthy of ours. Hallelujah. So we just want to give you glory on today. We want to thank you for all that you have done and all that you're going to do. And we just raise your hand and give you the praise of our lips and the praise of our hands on this day, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Yah Elohim. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. All glory is yours, O Yah Elohim. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. Our verse for today is Exodus chapter 20 and verse 10. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of Yah, thy Elohim. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy man servant, nor thy maid servant, nor thy cattle, for thy stranger that is within thy gates. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen and amen. All right, let us start this off. Let us go to Hebrews chapter 1. Now, I think we got past it. Sort of first, quickly, I'm going to read this note, and we're going to go through some scriptures. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7, verse 23. We want to look at this word, iniquity. Matthew chapter 7. And we're going to be getting verse 23, and then we're going to get Matthew chapter 13. 7 and 23. And then will I profess them unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Let's look at this word iniquity. And this word iniquity in the Greek is anomia. A-N-O-M-I-A. Anomia. G, the Strong's G, 4459, means illegality, in essence, violation of law, or genitive case, wickedness, iniquity, transgression of the law, unrighteousness. So if we put that word into this verse, and then while I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, you that work unrighteousness, you that transgress the law, you that do wickedness. And that's, you know, that's another, you know, when we think of wicked, a lot of times we think of, well, I can't say anybody else but myself. I think of somebody doing something, you know, satanic or hateful. But this is really, you know, a transgression of the law is considered wicked. So a new definition for me. It literally means not law, no law, lawlessness, or refers to things done which are contrary to the law. The King James Version of the Bible translates every one of these places as iniquity. So let's go to Matthew chapter 7, and let's see, Matthew chapter 13. And we're going to be getting verse 41. And see if the same word here is translated. Matthew 13 and 41. Then the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity. It's the same word. Okay, them that do, that transgress the law, them that don't keep the law. They are not under the law. Okay. Iniquity. Go to Titus chapter 2. The book of Titus chapter 2. And we're going to get verse 14. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. Again, the same word here that's used is anomia, transgression. So he redeemed us from all transgressions of the law. Now, people want to treat that as perpetual, that his redemption is perpetual. He just, no matter what you do, you're just redeemed. But that is not the case. And so when we are going back into iniquity and not zealous to do good works, we're zealous to do good works, but we're not following or keeping his law, there's a problem there. It doesn't line up. So Messiah gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness. Go to Hebrews chapter 1, the book of Hebrews chapter 1. And you know what I think? Are you guys looking that up on your computers at the same time? Or should I just go ahead and just share my screen?
Well, you could share your screen. Either way, it's all right.
Okay. Yeah, that should just make it easier, and you just see what I'm looking at. I'll just go ahead and share my screen. Yeah, I believe that's my Bible. You can pull up your screen sharing and tell me what you see.
No, I only see you.
You only see me?
Yeah.
Let me start that over again. All right, let me know what you see now.
I see the Bible now.
Okay. All right, good. Okay, so that's what we want. We want the Bible up. And we are getting we're getting Titus chapter 2 and verse 14. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. And we're looking up that word iniquity. And you can see it at the bottom left of my screen, anomia,
mm-hmm.
and the definition for it.
Mm-hmm.
Hebrews chapter 1. The book of Hebrews chapter 1. And verse 9. Loved righteousness. Now, Messiah, this is talking concerning Messiah. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. What does Messiah hate?
Lawlessness. Wickedness.
Wickedness.
Transgression of the law.
He hates all of that. Because that's all up under what? Iniquity?
Mm-hmm.
So, thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. If he hates iniquity, why would he be accepting people who are still breaking the law?
Mm-hmm.
Why would he be advocating for them? Father, I hate the evil that they do, but forgive them. But he always says forgive them. What? When does he say forgive them?
When they know not what they do.
Right. When they don't know what they're doing. That's ignorance, right?
Mm-hmm.
Never for willful sin. He doesn't ever say forgive them for they know what they're doing. Or they know not what they do. But he hates iniquity. He hates violation of the law. He hates wickedness. He hates transgression of the law. He hates unrighteousness. Therefore, Elohim, even thy Elohim, has anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. So because he hated iniquity, he was anointed over all of his fellows. But who are his fellows? 1 John chapter 3. Book of 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. And we're just looking at all of these places where it should have just said, you know, lawlessness. Translated as iniquity. Whomsoever committeth sin transgresses also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. And transgression here is the same word.
Yep.
Anomia.
Anomia.
Okay, so to transgress the law, to not keep it, to be wicked, it's used, you know, they translated that word, the same word, but we got to understand that it means wickedness, it means lawlessness. Okay, let's move on. So in all these verses that we looked at, the King James Version of the Bible translates every one of these places as iniquity except transgression of the law. Then it translates transgression of the law as the same word, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we got the transgression of the law, this phrase right here that you're looking at on your screen. When we look at that word, it is still what? Anomia?
No, yeah.
The same word. we've got to understand that this transgression of the law when it comes to the Sabbath, because the Sabbath is perpetual. So when he's telling these people to get away from him, they that practice iniquity, he's saying those that practice what? Lawlessness. So how do we say that? Let me get this verse. Go to Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. Romans chapter 6 and verse 14. Now let's start in verse 1, and let's make sure that we understand what's being taught here. Romans chapter 6, starting in verse 1. The book of Romans chapter 6, starting in verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in transgression? Because when we say sin, somehow people have watered this word down. Shall we continue in sin? Shall we continue in transgression? Let's look at the word here that they use. This is hamartia, a sin, offense, that grace may abound. What is the answer to that question? Elohim forbid. Shall we say then, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Elohim forbid. Shall we? What are we supposed to be to sin?
Dead
to sin. It's not supposed to be in us. If we're dead to sin, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Yeshua were baptized into his what?
Yeah.
Into his death. So if he died and he had no sin, we're supposed to also what? Die to sin?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Anything that is transgressing the law, we're not supposed to do it anymore. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. Like as Christ or Messiah was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. When we come out, you know, so the process is we confess our sins to them, then we are buried. You don't bury anything that's what? Alive?
Right.
So we die to our sin, then we are buried with him in baptism. Then we come out of the water, which represents the grave, in the newness of life. And so we should walk in the newness of life, that we are a new creature. We're no longer what? Sinners. We're not, well, let me change that. We're no longer what? Willful sinners.
Willful sinners.
Because anything that we know is wrong, we're not going to do it. Okay. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. The body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Mashiach, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Mashiach, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death has no more dominion over us.
Him.
Over him. We're waiting to get there to where death has no more what, dominion over us?
Yeah.
And this is our hope. And we see that day when death has no more dominion over us. He's already what? I've gotten there.
Mm-hmm.
But we're to walk and in the newness of life and not willfully sin. supposed to be dead to those things that we know are what? Sin. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he lives unto Elohim. Likewise, reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto what?
Sin.
So you got to be, you got to consider yourself dead to sin. So you can't live in it. You can't be doing it and saying, well, you know, it don't matter because I'm not under the what law? Because this is what people are doing. And this is what the church is teaching, that, hey, we're not up under the law, so we're not up under sin. Okay, but the truth of the matter is, all he talks about is being up under the law. Okay, but alive unto Elohim through Yeshua HaMashiach, our master. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. So don't let it have dominion over you. Don't let it reign over you. Neither yield yourselves members as instruments of lawlessness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto Elohim as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto Elohim, unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under what?
Grace.
Now, let's see this, because if you're under grace and you're not under the law, if grace is extended to us once for our willful sin, we come to Messiah, come to the Most High, says, I'm a sinner, these are the sins that I know about. The Most High normally would have said, your iniquity shall what, remain upon you?
Mm-hmm.
But under Christ, under Messiah, he says, I'm going to forgive your iniquity, your willful iniquity one time. I'm going to extend grace to you. Now, if you go back under the law and you willfully sin, well, do you think you just lost your grace?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, a lot of people don't want to believe it that way. Because then they're under the understanding all they do is got to do is what, confess?
Confess.
And he is true and just to forgive them. But, you know, but there's a verse in the scripture that just knocks that out of the water. And we talk about it all the time in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 26 through 29. So we know that that understanding has to be wrong. Because it would be, if we were continually under grace, perpetually under grace, then he could not say, if you willfully sin, there remaineth no more sacrifice. Because grace would take over, right? If you were up under perpetual grace. Do we understand that question?
Yes.
Perpetual grace, then it wouldn't matter whether you willfully sinned or not. Because no matter what you did, it would fall up under what? Grace.
Right.
So then Hebrews chapter 10, let's go there. Hebrews chapter 10. Through 30. For if we willfully sin, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for transgression, for sins, right? But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversary. So if we were perpetually under grace, there would be no need for this verse. Because if we were perpetually up under grace, then There would be no difference between willful and ignorant sin. But he's making a distinction here. So when we read that in Romans chapter 6, that we are not up under the law, then there would be no reason for Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26. It would be not applicable. But it is applicable. And so when it comes to the Sabbath, the Most High kills somebody for not keeping the Sabbath.
For picking up sticks.
He hasn't changed. He didn't, you know, write a new law in the New Testament. He actually reinforces that law with Hebrews chapter 10 in verse 26 through 30. The soul that sins presumptuously, his iniquity shall what?
Remain on him.
If you willfully sin, there's no blood for that. Your iniquity shall what?
Remain
on you. And it's worse. Because now you're sinning against Messiah. So we got to understand this word iniquity, and we understand why Messiah is saying, get away from me. If I teach you that you're not up under the law and you go about breaking it, I just taught you really how to lose your salvation. Because you're going to, if you believe me, then you're going to walk in your what, iniquity? And you're going to believe that all you got to do is what, confess. Now, you have to confess it. But he says that there's no sin, there's no blood for that. So it's the same. He did not change. And this is what people need to understand and believe, because when it comes to the vast majority of the world is not keeping the Sabbath. And I still had sisters asking me questions about what they can and cannot do on the Sabbath, but they've been in this walk for years. And still didn't know the Sabbath. Didn't know the Sabbath starts in the evening on Friday. So that's kind of crazy to me. But the bottom line is, we got people that are being taught all kind of stuff. And it's contrary to the scripture. Go to Matthew chapter 13. We're going to get verses 41. We know that the people who it says, get away from me, you workers of iniquity, why he cast them in, why he said, get away from me, because they, what, broke Yah's law? They weren't keeping it? So why will the angels cast people into the furnace of fire at the end of the age? Go to Matthew 13, let's get verses 41 and 42. And I'll bring it up on the screen. 41 and 42. And the word of the Most High reads, and the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that what?
Offend.
And them that do what?
Iniquity.
So we know that word iniquity. Let's look it up and see if it's the same word.
It is.
Then we know that it is the transgression of the law.
Mm-hmm.
So that's who he's going to gather. Well, if they're not up under the law, who is he gathering? Who are the angels gathering? If you're not up under the law, then who are the angels gathering that are doing iniquity?
Well, it's breaking the law.
Huh?
The one that's breaking the law?
Yeah, but they're saying they're not up under the law.
Well, didn't they break it when they said that?
They are breaking it when they say that. Because, you know, The bottom line is, he said he would write his laws in our heart, right?
Right.
And in our mind. And so they want to say that they are not up under the law because they're going by Romans chapter 6 and verse 18. Was that it? They're misusing this verse. Go back to Romans 6.
One, they said we're not under grace, we're under the law. We're under grace, that one.
Right. You're only under grace as long as you're keeping the law. Okay, so let's do Romans 6, 14, 15, and 16. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. This is the verse they like to use, okay?
Mm-hmm.
What then? Sin. How can you sin if you're not up, if you're under grace and you're not up under the law? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? What does he say?
God forbid.
God forbid.
I do not that.
For know you not that to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, his servants are to him to whom you obey. Whether of sin unto death, or what? Obedience unto righteousness. Obedience means to keep the law. Be in submission to the law. Obedience unto what? Righteousness. So, just because you're under grace, should you sin?
No.
No. If you sin while you are under grace, that means that you have come into the knowledge of what Messiah has done.
Right.
And he says there is no blood if you sin. Once you have come to the knowledge of what Messiah has done. So, if you're under grace, perpetual grace, then willful sin, it wouldn't even be applicable. Because no matter what, you would be up under what? Grace?
Grace.
Okay. So, he says, but even if you're under grace, did you sin?
No.
Even if you believe that you're perpetually under grace, should you sin?
No.
No. That's what it says in verse 15, right? What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace?
Okay.
God forbid. Why? Because to whom you yield yourself servant to obey, that's whom you belong to. So if you yield yourself to sin, you sin unto life?
No, to death.
Unto death. So everywhere, it's because the way it's worded, people are believing that they they're just excused from what? Excused from keeping the law?
Mm-hmm.
But if you sin is the transgression of the law. And if you do it, even if you're under grace, then you return to be under what? Death. And nowhere does it ever get you out of death, as long as you sin. So let's go to the angels are going to remove those that everything that offends and those that do what?
Iniquity.
Those that transgress the law, that's who they're going to remove. Because they broke Yah's law, Yeshua died to redeem us from all lawlessness. That's what he redeemed us from, because that's what people were doing. They were doing everything up under the sun. But Messiah redeemed us from that. Because he hates it. So, if Messiah hates all iniquity, isn't that a good reason to keep the Sabbath? Because not keeping the Sabbath is considered iniquity?
I would think so.
I would think so, too. I'm just trying to see how people rationalize. Because, you know, I think we make decisions, especially when we're younger. We make decisions and we believe things that we only have half the information. Or we just go by what we were told and believe that that's the gospel and, you know, it's all 100% the truth and they told us everything about it. Why would the pastor not give us the whole truth? And so that's the problem. Go to James chapter 2. Book of James, chapter 2. And we're going to get verses 1 through 10. My brethren, have not the faith of our Master Yeshua HaMashiach, the Master of glory, with respect of person. For if there come unto you, unto your assembly, a man with a gold ring, in goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile ring, and you have respect to him that wears the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place. And say to the poor, stand thou there and sit here under my footstool. Are you not then partial in yourselves and are become judges of evil thoughts? So you had evil thoughts toward the what, poor man?
Mm-hmm.
Because of how he was dressed. And he said, are you not then partial? Because the Most High is not a respecter of persons, right?
Right.
And that's what he starts off this with. My brethren, have not the faith of our Master, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lord of glory, the Master of glory, with respect of what?
Person.
Okay. So, he's talking about respect to persons. And he says, now, if you accept somebody that has a gold ring and they're dressed nice versus somebody that has don't have a gold ring and has put some poor clothes on, dirty clothes or whatever, he says, are you not then partial yourself and become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken or listen, my beloved brethren, hath not Elohim chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to them that love him? But you have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seat? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which you are called? If you fulfill royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law of as what?
Transgressor.
For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is the of what?
All.
So he's not saying that, he's not talking about not keeping the law, is he?
No.
He's talking about not being a respect of persons. And people will come and cherry pick this one verse out of here and say, whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point is guilty of it all, and try to use that as an excuse not to keep the law. And they say, hey, if I offend in one point, I offend in what? All. That's what the scripture says. And they don't want to be offenders of what? All the law? Now look what the next verse says. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of what?
The law.
So that they cannot use that verse to try to keep people what? From keeping the law?
Right.
So speak you, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of what?
Liberty.
What is the law of liberty?
Is he liable to keep the law?
The law of liberty is really this. When you were carnal minded and you weren't spiritually minded, you had no other choice but to what? Sin. That's the only thing you would know. When you come to Messiah and you learn what sin is, and then you are born again and you die to those sins, you have to choose to what?
Not sin.
Yeah, you have to choose to sin.
Oh.
Because you died to sin, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in order to sin, you have to choose to sin. Or you're sinning, what, ignorantly?
Yeah.
Okay, so the law of liberty means that you have choice. Before you didn't have, when you were in a carnal mind, the carnal mind is enmity to Elohim, and the carnal mind is not subject to what?
The law of way.
Is not subject to the law of Elohim. And neither indeed what?
It can be.
Can be. The carnal person cannot keep the law. Their nature is to break the law. Okay? And they don't have a choice. They can't really keep the law because it's not in them to keep it. When you get liberty, now you have a choice. And the law of liberty says that you're at liberty to sin or not to sin. So if you use the law of liberty, what he's talking about here, if you take your liberty to sin, you're going to be judged by that, however you use that law. So speak ye, so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of what?
Liberty.
So if you take your liberty to do unrighteousness, how do you think you're going to be judged? As a sinner.
As a transgressor.
All one and the same word. A transgressor, a sinner. Tell the law of liberty, because he says, take not your liberty to do what? Unrighteousness. So I'll find that verse for you. For we shall have judgment without mercy that have showed what?
No mercy.
And mercy rejoices against judgment. What does it profit, my brethren? What good does it? Though a man say he has faith and has not what?
Work.
You know, you say you believe, but you're not doing anything to show that you believe. Can faith save him? If a brother or a sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto him, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them those things which are needed in the body, what did it profit? What good did it do? So I see you, you're naked and destitute. I say, hey, be blessed and stay warm. But I can give you nothing to help you be blessed. I ain't have nothing to feed you, nothing to clothe you. I just say, hey, be blessed. Y'all got you. He said, what good did you do that person? Didn't do them no good.
Even so, faith, if it has no works, is what?
Dead.
Being alone.
Being alone.
Okay. And I was looking for verse 10 out of this. So, let's talk about this verse 10. It says, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. Now, the reason why they want to say that they're not under the law, but under grace, they know that they're offending at one, at least, what, one point? So if you don't keep Sabbath, are you offending the law at one point?
Yes.
Then you they would be guilty of doing what?
Breaking all of them.
Breaking all of them. Okay. So when we willfully sin, we make ourselves a murderer. We make ourselves a liar. We make ourselves a fornicator. We make ourselves an adulterer. We make ourselves dishonorable to parents. Dishonor our father and our mother. We dishonor who? The Most High. Because we are guilty of what?
Them all.
All. Okay. So they don't want to be up under a law. So they think that the law has what? If you're not up under the law, then you really can't sin, because sin is the transgression of
the law.
The law. But if you say you're not up under the law, but under grace, why does it keep talking about sin? So, when the Most High extends grace to you at one time for your willful sin. But see, this is how I know that they don't really understand what they're talking about, because if we willfully sin, he says there's no blood for that. And under the law of Moses, the Most High says if you willfully sin, then your sin remained upon you, your iniquity remained upon you. Then under Messiah, he says, bring it to me and I will look to you. If he never forgave willful sin, and now under Messiah, he forgives your willful sin once, because he says, hey, if now you know the truth. If you sin again, there's no blood for that. Then if you willfully sin, then you are no longer under grace. So, let's look at this verse. Go to Galatians chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 1. For in the liberty wherewith Mashiach has made us free, and be not entangled again to the yoke of bondage. What is the yoke of bondage?
Sin.
Together. But you are correct, it's sin. Behold, I, Paul, stand to you that if you be circumcised, Mashiach shall profit you what?
Nothing.
Because this is pertaining to getting into the kingdom. Okay? And there are some Pharisees going around telling people that they must be circumcised, telling some Gentiles they must be circumcised to be what? Keyword.
Okay.
Saved. So here Paul is telling them, if you be circumcised, real. He's talking to the Galatians. If you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do what?
The whole law.
Okay? Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever you are justified by the law, you are fallen from what?
Grace.
Okay, now, again, you may read, they will read these verses to say that you don't have to keep the law, okay? And that if you try to keep the law, if you try to justify yourself by the law, you are fallen from what?
Grace.
Okay, now, let's look at this, talking about circumcised. Okay, now, what were they told about being circumcised, the Gentiles?
They had to be circumcised if they wanted to join in with Israel.
Okay, and what were they told about joining the kingdom, being saved? Because there's two different things there.
They said they had to be circumcised.
Is that what it said?
Then go back.
Go to Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15. Now, I got it on your screen. I'm just going to start at verse 1, okay, and then I'm going to skip. Acts chapter 15. And certain men which came down from Judea talked to brethren and said, except you be what?
After
the manner of Moses, you cannot join Israel.
Cannot be saved.
Is that the same thing as joining Israel?
No.
So the topic is being circumcised under the law of Moses and being what? Saved?
Saved.
Being saved is becoming a member of the Most High's kingdom, okay? Not a member of Israel. Now, let's go down. That's the conversation. Okay. And let's go down. Let's start at verse 19. Now, they've discussed this, okay? The elders, Paul, Peter, some other people, they've discussed this, and now, who is this? James is rendering his sense on it. He's the head of the church, the head of the apostles, okay? Now, this is what he decides. Wherefore, my sense is this, that we trouble them not which are among whom? Are turned to God, okay? But that we write unto them that they abstain from what?
Excuse me.
Bless you. But that we write unto them that they abstain from what?
Polluting of idols and from fornication and from things strangled and from blood.
Now, this is all that we got to tell them who are Gentiles, okay? Did he mention being circumcised in there?
No.
Okay, so this is all you got to tell them. Okay, stay away from the pollution of idols and from fornication and from things strangled and from blood. For Moses, now why? Because Moses of old time has in every city them that preach what?
Them being
read in the synagogue
every Sabbath day.
So when you're reading Moses, you're reading the what? Law?
The law.
Okay. But circumcision is part of the law. But he's saying for them to be saved, this is all that he wants told. Okay? Now, we might say, well, that's James' opinion, right? But let's see.
Yeah,
and let's go down to this verse. because this is what seals it for me. You know, James said one thing, but James wasn't what's the verse? Let's just read. When I come across the verse, I'll just explain it. Okay, so James has said that they keep themselves from those things. Because Moses of old time is preached in every synagogue on the what, Sabbath day. Then it pleased the apostles and the elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabbas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. And they wrote letters by them after the manner. The apostles and the elders and brethren send greetings unto the brethren which are of the who?
The Gentiles in Antioch.
And Syria and Sicilia. For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your soul, saying you must be what?
Circumcised. And
keep the law. Now, just keep the law is keep the law in relationship to circumcision, all right? To whom we gave no such what?
Commandment.
We didn't tell them to preach this. They went about preaching this. They went about preaching this on their own. It seemed good to us, being assembled in one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men who have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have set them before Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same thing by mouth. For it seemed good to who?
The Holy Ghost.
So they didn't make this decision on their own. James didn't make this decision on his own. Who did he get it from?
The Holy Ghost.
The Holy Ghost, the Most High. And to us, to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that you abstain from meat offered to idols, from blood, and from being strangled, and from fornication, from which if you keep yourselves, you shall do what?
Well.
Now let's get the scenario in Galatians, okay? These men have been told that they need to be circumcised to be saved. And Paul is telling them, if you get circumcised to be saved, put any law on you. There's no requirement for you to be what? Circumcised?
Right.
So if you get circumcised because the law of Moses requires it to join Israel, but the law of Moses doesn't require it for you to become one in the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of Elohim. So if you get circumcised to be saved, you have fallen from what?
Fallen from grace.
You've fallen from grace because you got the grace not to be what?
Sinless.
Not to be circumcised.
Oh.
So if you're told you don't have to be, throw your grace down.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I think, yeah.
Yeah, if it's not required for you to be saved, then you go and do it to be saved, then you have fallen from grace. Because they were told that they didn't, it is circumcision required if you're a Hebrew.
Yes.
That's who we've been talking about this whole time. Have they been talking about the Gentiles?
Yeah.
And not Hebrews. Okay. Been talking about Gentiles. And the Gentiles were told, you don't need to be circumcised to be saved. Now, were they just excluded from some part of the law?
Yeah.
The law of circumcision, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you go now, if you go and get circumcised, then now you got to fulfill all of the law.
Oh, right.
Concerning that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, so he told him, hey, if you try to keep the, if you don't keep the whole law, because the when the Most High gave that, that he says that the man that lives in it, that man that does the whole law shall do what? Live in it? And you will live if you keep all the law. If you don't keep all the law, you shall what? You're going to die. So when they come and read the New Testament only, and they read these verses, then they try to make it to where they don't have to keep the law. And so the Gentile is not required to keep all of the law. Because all of the law would say that he would also need to be what? But now, did it say anything about any of the other laws?
No.
No. It said if you want to get them in the kingdom, then tell them don't fornicate, don't serve other gods, don't eat blood, and don't do what? Eat anything that's been what? Strangled, right?
Strangled. Mm-hmm.
So when we come up against the Gentile, that's what we tell them, hey, you got to stop serving other gods. You got to stop having sex outside of marriage. You can't be eating blood. And you need to make sure that the animals that you eat are kosher, that they have not been strangled. That's for salvation. Let's go back and get it again, 29 and 30. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. This is necessary for the Gentile to receive salvation, that you abstain from meat offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, from which if you keep yourselves, you shall do what?
Well,
that's to get into the kingdom. The whole argument is, these Pharisees that told them that in order to be saved, they had to be what? So when it says, and keep the law of Moses, then they're trying to apply all of the law of Moses to this, okay? But there is, the whole conversation is about what? Circumcision. Okay? So that's what this whole chapter is about. Now, because Paul is running around telling the Gentiles, hey, you don't have to be circumcised. You got some Jews coming back and saying Paul is telling them to disobey the what? Law.
Wow.
And they're saying he's telling everybody that. Jews and Gentiles. But he's not. He's telling that you don't have to be circumcised. And if you do get circumcised for salvation, you have fallen from what?
From grace.
What is the grace? That, hey, the law of Moses requires every Jew to be circumcised, every Jew male by what, the eighth day? And then if you want to join Israel, then all your men have to be what, circumcised? That's the law of Moses. These Jews were teaching them that, hey, they were not being saved to the kingdom of God. They were being saved to become members of what? Israel. Two different laws. So it's very important that we understand that. Let's go back one more time. Verse 1. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot join Israel. You cannot be saved, right?
Mm-hmm.
Two different things. Because the law of Moses says, if a stranger wants to come close, then all their males had to be what?
Circumcised.
Okay, that's if they want to come close and join Israel. But the Most High knows everybody's not going to want to join Israel, number one. Number two, he also knows that they are doing things. You're not just going to shotgun blast somebody with all the law and say, you got to keep this right away because it's culture shock. If you really, yes, ma'am.
It wasn't the law of circumcision, was it given to Abraham first?
It was given to Abraham first, and for what reason?
For the land.
For the land. Everybody that wanted to have a piece of Israel, have a claim in Israel of all the tribes, they had to be what? Circumcised? That was the covenant? That was the covenant. That was the contract. The contract is, here's the promise. Every place you step, Abraham, I'm going to give that land to you and to who? Your descendants. And this is the covenant. This is the agreement. Every one of your males have to be what? If they bought them as a servant, the servant had to be what? If they were born into his house, they had to be what? And then we come up to the law of Moses. The law of Moses before? Huh?
I had another question. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
When Israel was in the wilderness,
mm-hmm.
Was they doing circumcision then?
No.
No.
For 40 years, they didn't circumcise.
Okay.
For 40 years, they did not have a Passover.
Right.
Because the Most High said, and or if it says, let's go to Joshua chapter 1. Or five. I'm not just going to give you the answer. I'll show it to you in scripture. Joshua chapter 5. From there. Okay. And it came to pass when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on the side of the Jordan west, and all the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, heard that Yah had dried up the waters of the Jordan from before the children of Israel, until we were passed over, that their hearts melted, neither was their spirit in them anymore because of the children of Israel. So they heard that the Most High, what, split the Jordan River?
Right.
And that Yah was with them, and these men did not want to have, they did not want to come to war against what, Israel. At that time, Yah said unto Joshua, make these sharp knives and circumcise what?
Again, the children of Israel. The second time.
Why? And Joshua made him sharp knives and circumcised the children of Israel at the hill of foreskins. And this is the cause why. This is the reason why Joshua did circumcise. That's telling you, it's going to tell us why, right? All the people that came out of Egypt that were males, even all the men of war, died in the wilderness by the way. After they came out of Egypt. Now, all the people that came out were circumcised. So all the men that came out of Egypt, they were what? But all the people that were born in the wilderness, by the way, as they came forth out of Egypt, them they had not what?
Circumcised.
For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness. So all the people that were men of war, which came out of Egypt, were what? Now let's read verse 6. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness. So all the people that were men of war did what? Which came out of Egypt were what?
Which came out of Egypt was. Consumed.
They were consumed.
Because
they were killed.
They obeyed not the voice of Yah.
Because they obeyed not the voice of Yah, unto whom Yah sware that he would not show them the what?
The land.
Which he sware to their fathers that he would give us, a land that flowed with milk and honey. After that, and their children whom he raised up in their stead, them Joshua what?
Circumcised.
for they were uncircumcised.
They had not circumcised him by the way.
So they kept two Passovers, okay? Over when they came out of Egypt, and they kept the Passover of the first year. After that, the kids were being born, what, uncircumcised?
Mm-hmm.
And all those children that were born uncircumcised, they could not take part of what?
Passover.
The Passover. You will not read about another Passover until now. So after the Passover of the first year, you don't read about them ever having another Passover celebration until they come out and they're circumcised again. And Yah said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach, the blasphemy of Egypt from off of you. Wherefore the name of this place, Gilgal, unto this day. And the children of Israel encamped at Gilgal and kept the what? So they had not kept it all that time, 40 years, till all the people were circumcised again. Does that answer your question?
Yes, it does.
All right, amen.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. I don't want you to, you know, I never, you know me, I don't ever want people to say it's my opinion. It is what? Written. But we don't have to guess that. We don't have to make it up. All right. Continue. So my question was, if you don't do, it says if you fail to do one law, you fail to do them what?
All.
So people who don't keep the Passover, they're guilty of transgressing what?
All of the laws.
Cannot inherit the kingdom. That's another reason why Messiah says what? Get away from me.
No.
Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's get verses 9 and 10.
Mm-hmm.
Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of Elohim? Don't you know that? That's a question, right?
Mm-hmm.
Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of Elohim. They are guilty of all these things.
What's that? Adulterer nor effeminate.
That's a person, a man that acts like a woman.
Oh, okay.
It's the alphabet P.
Yeah. Okay.
Exactly. Another word they got for that is called a catamite. So let's look up, I'm going to look up the Webster's for catamite. Because I didn't know this word was there. I looked it up before, but this is actually talking about a gay person. Let's see.
Yeah.
Let me pull up my internet here. Catamite definition. A boy kept for homosexual practice.
Hmm.
Can you spell that, please?
C-A-T-A-M-I-T-E.
C-A. Say it again, C-A.
C-A.
Mm-hmm.
M-I-T-E.
Were kept for unnatural purposes.
Okay, so that's an effeminate. He's made to be like a what? Woman?
Mm-hmm.
Used like a woman is intended to be used in a sexual way?
Unnatural purpose.
Right. It's not natural for a boy, two men to be together.
No.
Oh, God.
So that's what that is concerning. All right. Let's keep going. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5. Now the works of the flesh are made known, manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresy, envy, murders, drunkenness, reviling, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in the past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the what?
Kingdom of Elohim.
So anybody that's doing any of these things, and when we don't keep the law, then we will justify ourselves. That's just that because they don't keep the law, then they can say that what homosexuality is okay to be in the church.
Mm-hmm.
That they can be free, they can be, you know, saint, they can be practicing, and it's okay because they don't keep the laws of the Most High. First John 3:15. Now, aren't we told that if we love our brother, how do we show that we love our brother? Got to find this verse. It doesn't change. Let me search this.
As we love ourselves.
Uh-uh.
If you keep his commandments.
Right. You have that verse?
No, I don't have it.
How is that worded? First John 5.
Not that we love, but we love God, that the love of God that keeps me.
So, by this we know that we love the children of Elohim. When we love Elohim and what?
Keep his commandments.
So what is the opposite of that? By this we know that we hate the children of Elohim. If we hate Elohim and keep not his commandments.
Mm-hmm.
See, these verses that all these verses sort of let's get these first. Let's go to John 14 and 15. We know that. If you love me, do what?
Keep my commandments.
And 1 John 5 and 3, for this is the love of Elohim, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not
grievous.
1 John 2, 3 and 6, and hereby do we know that we know him if we keep his commandments.
Keep his commandments.
He that saith, I know him and keep not his commandments is a
liar.
And the truth is not in them.
The truth is not in them.
1 John 2:3-16, let's go there. I'm just going to bring that up on the book. It's a lot of scriptures. Let me bring back the Bible.
You said 1 John 2:3?
Yeah, 1 John 2:3-16.
Okay.
We're just going to start in verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Yeshua HaMashiach, the righteous, the lawful. And he is the propitiation for our sins. And not ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now, if we take these as standalone verses and not with, what, line upon line?
Right.
We'll take these as being all-encompassing, all sins. Okay. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that says, I know him and keep not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of Elohim perfected. Hereby know that we are in him. How do we know that we are in him? If we keep his commandments. He that says he abides in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Did Messiah walk breaking the commandments?
No. No.
We got conflicting
answers. He didn't break the commandment. He didn't walk breaking the commandment. No.
Sister Mary, you want to change your answer?
Huh?
Did Messiah walk?
I said he didn't break no law.
Okay. All right. Maybe I asked
him. The Sabbath.
Yeah, maybe I asked the question the wrong way. But I said, because I asked the question in what the scripture was saying. It says, he that says he abides in him, Messiah, ought himself also to walk, even as Messiah walked. And I asked, did Messiah walk breaking the commandments?
Yes, he did walk keeping the commandments.
I said walk breaking the commandments.
Oh, no. He didn't break. I didn't hear the break far.
I know. Why?
He snuck that in on me.
No, I said it twice.
You did.
He still snuck it in on me.
All right. Amen. I'll take credit for that then. All right. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment, which you have heard from the beginning. What is the old commandment? The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the light is shining. The light, and hateth his brother, is in darkness even until now. Now, what was the old commandment? What was the first thing the Most High told Israel? That he told Israel.
Keep my commandments. Have no other God before me.
Let's get the verse.
Love that brother as thyself.
Let's get Exodus chapter 19 and verse 5.
Thank you. now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed.
What is the first commandment?
Obey my voice.
That's right,
indeed.
Obey my voice. That's the commandment.
Mm-hmm.
And keep my what?
Covenant.
Now, he reiterates this in Deuteronomy chapter 10, I believe. Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 12. What does Yah require of us? And now, Israel, Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 12.
That we fear him.
Fear him first.
And walk in all his ways. And to love him. And to serve him.
With all our heart and all our soul. In verse 13.
And to keep his commandments and his statutes. Command us this day for our good.
So that's what he required. When we were in, let me go back here, 1 John. Hereby do we know that we know him if we what?
Keep his commandments.
He that saith, I know him, and keeps not his commandments, is a liar.
He's a liar, and the truth is not in him.
But whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of Elohim perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that that saith he abides in him ought himself also to walk even as Messiah walked.
I'm like you, Brother Miles. I don't see how they can read all this and come up with what they come up with.
Because it's not in them to keep it.
Amen.
He reveals stuff. He said he talked to the masses in what, parables?
Mm-hmm.
And the parables were not meant for them to understand it.
Understand.
And so when people don't really want to obey God, then they'll come up with their own understanding.
Mm-hmm.
So, let's see. We are at 38. So, my question would be to those who don't want to keep Sabbath, why would you... If he says the Sabbath is his day and keep it, he says that in the past I've killed people for not keeping it.
Right.
Why would you take the chance to not keep it? And then why would you interpret the scripture to say, hey, if you try to keep all the law, you have fallen from grace? I know he was talking about circumcision. And to Gentiles, if they try to keep the law of circumcision, to be what, saved?
Right.
They have fallen from grace. To them not to be circumcised for salvation. Y'all don't have to be circumcised. You're up under grace for that. They entered for salvation. So to be mixing this stuff up, and to be mixing scriptures, you can cherry pick scriptures to make them say whatever you want them to say.
Yeah, true.
Let me get this verse and put it with this verse and put it with this verse and put it with this verse, and now this is what the Word of God is saying.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be totally 100% wrong.
Yeah.
And out of context.
Tell them that.
No. Mm-hmm. And, you know, most of them... As I said, most of them hate it. They want, you know, the Most High can't be their God because he kills people.
Mm-hmm.
And they want a loving and merciful God. They want a God that's going to let them, you know.
Peace and safety.
Right. But they're not at peace with him, and they don't know it. They think they're at peace. That's what's so shocking to them when he says, get away from me. They think they are at peace with him. They believe that they
but
are.
But when you hear him talking, Brother Miles, they say one thing and contradict the same thing at the same with the same sentence.
But they can't see that. They won't understand that. To them, it makes perfectly good sense.
Yeah, I'm like, wait a minute. Did he just hear that? What he just said?
Yeah, but it makes no sense to me. I'd be like, okay.
Yeah, it. That's why I said if it's not written, you should not be teaching it, and you should not ever cherry pick scriptures to come up with a doctrine, because that's what people do. They will take the scriptures completely out of context, and then they don't take line upon line, because you can't make one scripture cancel out another. And that's most I says, I don't want this. So when we do that, then we're in trouble. Let's go to Matthew chapter 15. Let's see what Messiah said to all these people who break God's commandments. Chapter 15, starting in verse 7. We start in verse 1. Then came to Yeshua scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the what?
Tradition of the elders.
Commandments of God.
No.
Tradition of elders.
For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, why do you also transgress the commandments of God by your what?
Tradition.
For Elohim commanded, saying, honor thy father and thy mother, and has cursed and he that cursed the father and mother, let him die the death. Messiah, he's still on that, right? If you curse your mother or your father, you're supposed to what? Die the death?
Die.
Supposed to die.
But you say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift, whosoever thou mayest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandments of Elohim of none effect by your tradition. You hypocrite. Well did Isaiah prophesy, saying, the people draw nigh unto me with their what? And honors me with their
lips.
But their what is far from me.
Their heart is far from me.
Heart is far from me.
So you saying stuff with your mouth. You talking out of your mind, but your heart is far from me, because your heart should be to do whatever I say do. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Okay. So that's what he says that they do. They worship him in what?
Vain.
In vain. For nothing. You're doing all these things, you're saying all these things, and nowhere what you're saying can you find it written. And then on top of that, if you do find it written, you don't know how to put it line upon line, because it's not the Ruach putting it in order for you. It's you trying to do it of your own carnal mind. So they can never come to the understanding of the truth, because it's God that has to put it line upon line for you.
Right.
Go to when people set aside the Sabbath day and keep Sunday instead, they do exactly what Yeshua said. Go to Mark chapter 7. Verse 8 and 9. Mark chapter 7, verses 8 and 9. For laying aside, is keeping the Sabbath a commandment?
Yes.
For laying aside the commandment of Elohim, you hold the traditions of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things you do. And he said unto them, full well you reject the what?
Commandments of Elohim.
That you may keep your own.
Your own tradition.
So Messiah said it made the word of the commandments of the Most High of what? None effect? Because they use their own commandments. They use their own laws. So those who keep Sunday, the first day of the week, are they keeping their own tradition?
Yes, they are.
Yeah.
That's the commandment of men. The Most High never changed that date.
Nope.
And you can't tell them to go look it up. Right. You cannot tell them to go look it up because they refuse to go look it up.
They do.
Mm-hmm. They refuse to... you know, they just want to say, hey, that's what I believe. And I'm like, why do you believe contrary to what's written? That's what I believe. It makes the word of Yah no effect. And they are substituting Yah Sabbath for what they want to keep. The book of Matthew, chapter 24. And we're going to get verse 35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but his word shall what?
Shall not pass away.
So if his word shall not pass away, let's go to Matthew 19 and 17. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 17. And he said unto them, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is Elohim. But if you will enter into life, if you want eternal life, do what?
Keep the commandment.
Keep the commandment. Luke 6 and 46. Book of Luke, chapter 6, and verse 46. Call you me Lord, Lord, and what?
The things which I say.
And do not the things which I say. Why are you calling me your Lord and you don't do what I say do? Why are you calling me your master and don't do what I say do? Whosoever comes to me and hears my sayings and do them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built his house and dig deep and laid the foundation on rock. And when the flood rose, the stream beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake it, for it was founded on rock. He said, you're going to be on solid ground if you do what I tell you to do. If you keep the commandments. If you don't keep the commandments, you're like, but he that heareth and does not is like a man without a foundation, built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. You're on shaky ground if you don't keep his commandments.
Oh.
John 14. Go to John 14. And this is, again, he says, if you don't keep one, you're guilty of not keeping them what? All?
No.
John 14, let's go down and start in verse 15.
You love me, keep my commandments.
If you love me, keep my commandments.
Keep my commandments.
And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, the world sees me no more, but you see me. Because I live, you shall live also. At the day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He that has my commandments and what?
Keep them.
He is that loves me. And he that loves me shall love my Father, shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, Lord or Master, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Yeshua answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. He will keep my commandments. And my Father will love him and will come unto him and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loves me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. So I'm going to give you the Holy Ghost commandments. You're supposed to bring it into your remembrance. Let's stop here for this evening. Do one more. What's going to judge the people who don't keep his word? What judges them? 3 John chapter 12. And let's get verse 48. John chapter 12, verse 48. He that rejects me and receives not my words has one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. I told you to keep my commandments. That's what's going to judge you. You were told, you don't want to believe me. You'll believe me in the end. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which has sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. What does Paul say about a person that doesn't believe this? 1 Timothy chapter 6. And let's get verses 3 and 4. If any man teach otherwise, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our master, Yeshua HaMashiach, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is what?
Proud.
Not knowing anything.
Knowing nothing.
Knowing nothing.
But doing about questions.
But But doting about or going about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh what?
Envy, strife, rally, evil.
Evil surmising. Perverse what? Disputings of men of corrupt minds. And destitute of the truth. Supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. Stay away from them. Because they're just going to question and question and question and never be able to come to the truth. Never be able to accept it. So let's stop here and then we'll talk about what you should do on the Sabbath day. On next week. And then we'll look at who changed the Sabbath day. All right, that being said, any other questions tonight?
Oh, no.
No, I don't have any.
Okay. Let me open up the mic. Anybody on the phone have any questions as to what we're talking about as far as the Sabbath and keeping the commandments? And is that keeping the Sabbath is a commandment? All right, no questions. Then let us go ahead and get ready to dismiss for this evening. On Thursday, we will have the business meeting and Friday Sabbath lesson. We will continue in this study. Next week, we will look at what you are able and what you should be doing on a Sabbath day. And then we'll look at who changed it, who actually changed this, so that people understand that if they're keeping Sunday as their Sabbath, then they are keeping the traditions of men and not the commandments of the Most High. And if, you know, they can't understand that, then I know that it's because they don't want to understand it. Or Yah is not letting them understand it. One or the other. They either don't want to or Yah is not letting them. He's causing them to believe the way that they believe. And it's not for a good reason. Said, may the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. Until we meet again, remember I love you. I really do. I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Fear Yah and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. Shalom, fam.
Shalom.
me with the water, baptized, get dumped. I'm filled with the rock and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time for Shabbat. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishpachah, good vibrations. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You're always there, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always there, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect. And his kingdom will reign
forever. I'm Brother Miles. Shalom, family.
Shalom, family.
Shalom. Peace and blessings. Have a blessed day.
You also.